Welcome back to the New Rockstars Debrief. I'm Eric Voss. Joining me today are Philip Molina and Sam Basher.
Hello, this is Sam. Thank you for having me, gang.
And hello, this is Philip. Thanks for having me, fam.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm happy to have. Well, we finally got an official Avengers Endgame synopsis to dissect for you guys. Plus some picks from Game of Thrones Season 8, the final season, and some interesting theories about Star Wars Heaven.
Ooh.
I thought we'd go there.
Thought they didn't believe in Heaven.
Interesting.
Also, a little Walking Dead tease, right?
Oh, yeah. You guys have been asking about an update about The Walking Dead.
And our coverage.
We haven't forgotten about you guys. So we got a big, fun announcement for you guys coming later in the video or the podcast, depending on how you're getting this.
Yeah, speaking of, do remember that you can enjoy this as a podcast. Again, our faces, you don't have to deal with them. A lot of you guys are actually already doing it. We've gotten some really great feedback so far, and we're excited to keep going. So get it wherever you get your podcast. So we would extra love it if you got it on the Himalaya app, because they're direct supporters of our podcast. So it's really great. Thanks so much.
Yeah. All right. Let's get started, guys. So here's the deal. We got an official synopsis for Avengers Endgame. We were able to piece together what the story might be. We made several videos about what the story might be. But here is an official synopsis released, and this is what it says. After the devastating events of Avengers Infinity War, the universe is in ruins due to the efforts of the Mad Titan, Thanos. With the help of remaining allies, the Avengers must assemble once more in order to undo Thanos' actions and restore order to the universe once and for all, no matter what consequences may be in store.
Now, I still want to see it despite that voice you just used.
I think some people want to see it more because of the voice they used. Answer our surveys. Okay, let's get to the analysis here. There's three words that I think are important. The rest, throw them away. Ignore them. Only these three.
Ampersand.
Yeah. Any prepositions are useless. Undo and restore are the first two. Okay, so that's interesting. The first confirm, like, the OG Avengers may be getting involved in some time travel or alternate realities in order to bring back the dusted. I mean, think undo, restore. Like, undo, it makes it sound like
Photoshop menu items.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
How will the Avengers control Z Thanos' snap? I think that's right. That's undo, isn't it?
Depends on if you're on a PC or a Mac.
Apple Z.
There you go.
Control Z. The idea of undo makes it sound like, yeah, prevent. We're going back before this happened or in a reality where this hasn't happened and make it so that we have like a clean slate as a result of our actions.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sounds like restore from backup, right? Which I haven't been saving the universe.
Been a minute. You got to do that to the cloud.
You got to control and or Apple Z, S that, right?
No, oh, man.
I don't think you've used a computer recently.
I don't use computers. I do everything by hand. Maybe there's a simulated reality that we're hinting at, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, control.
But in all honesty, right? Restore. So yeah, time travel confirmed.
You threw out I know we've talked about the alternate reality thing, but you're like, oh, start a new reality for these people. And it's like, oh, that's a nightmare because that means the other one still exists where everyone's dead.
That's my favorite.
It sounds like they're not doing it based on undo and restore, but I want the Cronenberg universe.
Right. Yeah. I want it to jump to every possible ramification and consequence is played out somewhere and everyone dies in some other timeline. Well, there's also the word consequences. Some people are pointing out that just as Thanos had to sacrifice Gamora to get the Soulstone, the Avengers may need to sacrifice someone as well to prevent him getting those
things. Because otherwise it's a sitcom, right? Avengers is like friends and everything gets reset at the end of every episode, which sounds like a fun show.
I'd watch
it. Yeah. but yeah, if they have the stakes of like, hey, half the universe was destroyed and, you know, that felt really bad, like, we should keep something bad, something, there should be lasting effects. They can't really undo the whole thing. I mean, I think we're all kind of guessing like, all right, so you give up an Avenger.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That's
okay,
the
I
payment.
What you're saying. I mean, I understand that as a story element, but if you have magic wishing stones that make you any wish you want, I feel like you try to give it get the A+ and not the A- or the B+.
You think it's an A- to lose one person versus the half of the universe that died? Well, I would say an A- is like, hey, I'll give you back a quarter of the universe. That's like a 25% reduction would still be, well, that's not so bad.
I wouldn't give it an A+.
They have so many Avengers. Just give one away. Or one out of six ain't bad. You know, it's interesting. Someone brought this up to me that in Infinity War, there was that whole ongoing conversation between Vision and Captain America where Captain America said, we don't trade lives here. We're not in the business of trading lives. But maybe that could be something that Cap ends up having to change the tune on. Where he says, well, we don't give lives, or we don't trade lives, but I will trade a life. Well, I'll trade my life.
They pointed that out, that he already did that. He's done that before in the first movie.
Yeah, he jumped on the grenade. He drove the Valkyrie into the ice. And he's done that over and over again. So now it was already kind of a double standard that he was given a Vision. Is that setting up to his final solution?
Yeah, he's going to throw someone in
jumping
front of
on
the grenade
again. Someone else with a grenade. throw a Vision on the grenade.
Yeah. It also, I'll remind us, I don't know if you guys saw that quote by, is it Stephen McFeely and
One of the writers
and the other one. So it's the two
Marcus
writers.
And McFeely,
check out my Instagram at Villa Molina. You'll see a picture of me that I obsess about with them. I had to mention that it was a picture with them.
You almost name drop, but you forgot one of their names.
Yeah. But they had a quote recently that was like, "Hey, by the by, we're not just going to do that thing where Adam Warlock shows up and just fixes everything. The characters you care about are the ones that are going to solve it." So I think that's even more indication that, like, okay, so if it's Cap or Iron Man, the ones we care about, basically, then they're definitely going to be sacrificing themselves in some way or something like that.
So if you say characters I care about, does that mean like Wolverine, Mr. Fantastic, Human Torch, and
Sherlock Holmes?
Why not?
Are we widening this?
Deadpool? Why not?
Maud Garrett.
I'll keep. That'd be crazy, right? Super confusing.
How did she hide this from us all this time?
She's a character.
She knew. Yeah, I think this for me settles two concerns that I had going into Endgame. One concern being that it would just be too easy, that they wouldn't have any consequences, that they could just reset it. They're like, oh, they're all toys. It's like in comics sometimes where it's like, oh, no death really has stakes. It sounds like hopefully there will be stakes. Hopefully there will be some kind of major price being paid, either a death or characters just being separated into different timelines, and now Cap and Tony can't be in movies together. Who knows? That's one concern. The other concern I had was that another thing that would make it too easy being divine intervention. I don't want like a cosmic force coming in. I don't want a living tribunal Eternity to come in.
To make it worse is my opinion.
Right,
I'm down for like anything can happen to make things worse, but the make things better and solve it needs to come from characters we already know. And, you know, ideally not some sort of device either where it's like, oh my God, the undoer button.
Right.
You
know? There was a Pixar story artist named Emma Coates who is great to follow on Twitter because she has like a bunch of rules of storytelling that she goes by and all of Pixar tries to abide by. And one of her quotes is that accidents and coincidences can get your character into trouble, but they cannot get your character out of trouble. So like as Philip said, if some kind of weird coincidental thing can make a character's fate worse or their situation worse or make more trouble for them, that's fine, but they should have to get out of the problem themselves and their own ingenuity.
Luck can come into play as long as it's bad luck.
That's a much more condensed version.
Also, I want to give props to Disney and Marvel for just keeping everything as vague as possible going into this. The whole like quote where they're like, we're going to try to use the first 15 minutes to cut our trailers. First 30, but it's like, keep it. The movie is a surprise. Like, the movie is genuinely a surprise. It's one of the biggest, it's like the biggest blockbuster they've done. Maybe on par with Infinity War, but I like that we're being cagey a little bit to make the movie extra special for the fans that have been watching it for this long. So
yeah,
on board with that.
First 15 minutes. I mean, we're talking like it's not like the movie could be over 3 hours. That's not even like the first act of the movie. That's like not even the first plot movement.
That's the
just
end
like
of
the opening
the intro
credits.
Graphic. For sure.
Yeah.
All right. So, before we move on to other news, time for a trivia question.
Oh yeah. So this is fun as always. We're gonna ask each other a trivia question. The loser will have to join our GIF of Shame community. And if you're listening on a podcast, you'll just have to follow us on Twitter to see who lost and how embarrassing it looks for them to do this action. But for now, here's our question. Thanos is the short form of the Greek word Thanatos. Thanks, Sam. Which means what? Okay, all of our answers are in the bucket. At the end of the episode, we'll reveal what the correct answer is. But for now, let's move on to some Game of Thrones news. Philip, what have you heard about this?
So the the biggest thing this week, I guess, is just these Game of Thrones pictures that came out. If you click through them, a lot of them seem like they're kind of just production stills that are, you know, the kind that they have them posed for. But actually, if you look a little closer, there are some details here worth pointing out. So we got to overanalyze the crap out of them
Please, always thank you. Oh, yeah.
So first off, we've got Jaime Lannister here. Definitely just farted. clearly,
but no one knows yet.
You know, this, it's in the darkness of what seems to be Winterfell. So I think we can imagine that he's completed that journey to Winterfell. He looks pretty content. So he probably is fighting on their side. But also, I mean, maybe he's looking at a frolicking Brienne? Brienne of Tarth, maybe?
Brienne of Tarth. Oh, yeah. That's reunion on the way.
I mean, look, he's smitten. He's charmed. Mm-hmm. Smelling his own scent.
Yeah, this is not the expression I would expect Jaime to have coming back to Winterfell, right? Because this is his first time meeting Bran again after the moment.
Maybe that's who he's seeing.
He's
right
like,
now.
Hey, he's like, bud.
I'm glad it didn't get better for
actually,
you.
Actually, even though we see that as a content face, if you're listening to the podcast, he's just got kind of a smug smile. It's also the kind of face like, uh-oh.
Did not expect
to see Sharon at the party. You know?
I thought you ran away. Yeah. Oh, they're wearing the same thing.
Totally,
it's super awkward.
The only like bad moment I ever think with like besides Jaime being just kind of a dick in the beginning, like the first couple seasons, awful person. I always think about like that one, the funeral for Joffrey, and it's like that weird scene between him and not good. And then besides I felt like he was on a good trajectory. I always forget that he kicked a kid out of a tower, and we've had to deal with those consequences for the entire series. I always forget about that.
It's hard to remember every single character on Game of Thrones has kicked a child out of a tower.
They don't depict them all, but that's your audition for
there's
the show.
There's other pictures, we can kind of fly through them, but there's shots of Varys, who's wearing all black, which I just thought was interesting. Jon's there, Sam's there, Sansa's there, Dany, Arya, Bran, and Davos. But the one I want to focus on next, their clothing all just looks like they're all dressed more for winter, so it seems like a lot of them are in the north, and obviously winter has come to Westeros.
Yeah, convergence of characters there. That's cool.
But I just want to confirm, do you guys think that, who do you guys think is where, basically? Who do you think has made it to Winterfell?
The list of characters you just said, it sounds like they're all going to be there at least for
just
one.
Anyone
debrief.
Wearing dark, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like winter's settled over all over Westeros, right? Because we saw the snow dropping on King's Landing at the end of season 7. And we have seen some brief teaser clips of Daenerys and her whole entourage arriving at Winterfell.
Right.
So we can assume anyone who is on part of Daenerys' delegation will be there as well.
So agreed. What I'm kind of like teasing at is Cersei and her look. A lot of people think her look is kind of like a heavier cloth and darker. It's kind of similar, but it doesn't seem so much like she's traveled. She does still seem to be at King's Landing, which would make sense. But the real thing that a lot of people are debating, and this isn't us making this up, this is people just based on this picture, they're saying she looks pregnant. I could see it kind of going either way, but we do have to remember that even though it's rude for us to assume that, and we don't condone just jumping in and saying, hey, she looked pregnant, I'm going to remind us that she said that she was to Jaime. And I remember, you know, there was a lot of like debate about, is she lying? Is she trying to manipulate him? I mean, if she is lying, if she is faking it, she could do that pillow move. You guys know that.
Julia Dreyfus in Arrested Development, where she had the fake
Glee
baby bump.
Glee season 1, I think, also did it. Also, Sam Basher.
It's easier to get in lines at Six Flags. But
pregnant Sam coming through.
We had that baby shower for you and didn't return our cribs.
No, didn't need to.
So many cribs.
Yeah. Well, this could be confirmation that she is, actually, and she wasn't lying about that, and we should all just
Does, and also there are issues with the prophecy about how many children she would have.
Oh,
and there was
right.
kind
yeah.
of like a,
yeah.
a weird number misalignment with the number of kids she actually had. So,
yeah.
you know, they could be trying to deal with that. But then finally, there's this shot of Arya that I want to check out. So she's got Needle here, which is great. And she's also got the cat's paw dagger, which is the famous dagger that Littlefinger just had a very storied history with. But a couple things we want to point out about her. First of all, she's looking up kind of in amazement. Some people say maybe it's a dragon. I like to think it's a vigorously waving hot pie. Uh-huh. I made it. But
I'm here.
Yeah, I somehow made it to Winterfell. But actually, the most interesting thing to me is the person behind her.
Ooh.
This is somewhat a svelte figure. But that wasn't a joke. I think they're svelte. And I'm trying to like guess who that could be. They've got this long hair, this dark look. Mm. I'm throwing out there maybe Jaqen H'ghar.
Oh,
which would be really fascinating the man who can look like anyone suddenly gets involved in this war
and decided to not change his appearance at all.
Might be awkward though. It's like inviting work friends and family friends.
Well, he didn't leave things really well with or Arya just kind of walked away, right? And
it made her not on blind, right? That was the last time we saw him, was in that scene, if I'm thinking
I think
correctly.
So yeah, and then are there any other guesses you guys have? Obviously the Hound could be an option, but again, that's why I said svelte. Yeah. Unless he had a crazy summer.
I'm actually really on board with that, with Jaqen. I think that'd be interesting just to kind of round out that story, maybe give them some any kind of closure. Maybe I don't even know if I need that for Arya's character, but that they were together for kind of ish two seasons and on and off again throughout like earlier seasons as well. Why not round out that she's been with Jaqen, I feel like, almost more than the Hound. You can correct me, you will, but like it feels like that to me thinking back on it. I'll have to rewatch the whole series before it premieres again, but I would be happy with that.
Yeah. Eric, do you have any other guesses for us?
I don't know. I was gonna say a Mormont, you know, like didn't she like Mage Mormont, but she's dead. That's why Lyanna Mormont is now the
right.
Because I'm just saying, because the hair is not like well groomed. It's just kind of like all over. That's what I was thinking. Maybe the Hound.
Earlier, you also were thinking maybe a wildling.
Oh yeah, like maybe some other wildling person, or just some kind of northern. Lord or lady or someone who's
any other guesses at what she's looking at?
You guys said amazement. I'm seeing a little glossed over where she's like half listening to somebody. this scene is probably seeing a dragon coming to Winterfell for the first time. That seems the best guess.
Throw out there she's maybe studying Jon and Dany,
right?
And the influence that Dany is having over Jon.
Yeah.
Final guess. Bran coming back from the future via time travel with the Terminator. Yeah.
His sunglasses
Skynet.
On.
They're all there.
Yeah. And so that's
cool new haircut.
She has no way to really emote what that feels like. Yeah. But it would help against the White Walkers.
Cool. All those guesses are equally
true.
Valid.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the pictures. And if you guys see anything there might be like a Tarly or someone back there. Anything else, just let us know. And if it's worthwhile, we'll dig in deeper. But tweet at us or something if you see something that we don't.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg, and who were you again?
I played Peter.
We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
What else we got?
Well, we got some Star Wars news this week, right? So there were some rumors going around that Episode 9, which is coming out in December of this year, will feature the Knights of Ren, and that they'll be coming from a place called the Beyond. Now, taking the first part of that, that's exciting to hear this rumor that the Knights of Ren might come back.
Ooh.
They only showed up really in that Force dream in The Force Awakens, and then The Last Jedi didn't really address them at all, so we thought that they might just be done, but now J.J. Abrams is coming back, so we're like, oh, maybe he will want to bring back this cool like piece of backstory, this mystery. Now, But again, these are all rumors. This comes from a source called Making Star Wars, and it's kind of like a, not, I don't want to say gossip source or a gossip column, but they've been right about things in the past. So that's why we're kind of taking this seriously. But this whole idea of the beyond is what a lot of people have been asking about. What is it, or where is it? Well, there's some theories that it could be a place in the Outer Rim, that's just some kind of location that's unexplored, or the unexplored or the unknown regions. And that's just like a place where Kylo Ren sent them off to go investigate, and that's why they weren't in The Force Awakens, like in the main timeline or in The Last Jedi. There's also some rumors coming out that the Knights of Ren will return from the Beyond, and that the Beyond will also be a source of some great threat that the Resistance and the First Order have to join forces to confront and battle. Again, rumors. This is just kind of sounds like broad plot movement that might happen in Episode 9. And also, people are suggesting that the Beyond might be some kind of like dimension of Force energy that could be like harmful to both sides, because the Force is something that like goes both ways. Essentially, there's a light side and a dark side. Mm-hmm. Some people are also suggesting that the Beyond could be a form of like Force heaven. Like this could be the place where all the Force ghosts go and hang out when they're not visiting Luke or younger Jedi who are still alive. It doesn't sound very threatening if that's right. The case, like unless there's some kind of like, if it's some kind of like neutral afterlife, maybe there could be some kind of like big threat in that sense. And then the word beyond has showed up in Legends and in the EU before. There's this group called the Acolytes of the Beyond from the Aftermath books. They're like collectors of dark side artifacts. They were dealing with like, Vader's old lightsaber. Mm-hmm. So that could, maybe the word beyond could have been inspired in that way. You know, they do take some pieces of things from Legends, but they have been up to this point not really focused on adapting specific storylines and characters from Legends. It's more like they'll include them in, as Easter eggs and character names and things like that. So what do you guys think?
I think that my like giddy childhood brain is like, ooh, the Force Ghost, we get Yoda and everybody in their same place. And that sounds like awful when I actually try to picture like what it would be like. And you were there and you were there. Like it actually, I'm hoping it's not Land of the Force Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, otherwise I think it would be cool if it's some sort of like, you know, what's on the other side of a black hole or something, and just some sort of like, place that kills you just to transfer into it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I kind of hope they don't use Beyond because Star Trek did that, so it's like they already got that weird competition with it. And like,
there, yeah.
dumb brain idea first is that's where the Star Trek universe is. They come over, we get a crossover in the next movie. Boom. There, that's a dumb idea. Better idea is that the Knights of Ren have been out training and recruiting. I would really like that idea because it's like there's so few people using the Force and all these movies. I just want like the part of the prequels I liked is that there were just so many. I love that part of it. And to have like such a strong like Sith army coming in, like I know there's probably reasons why that can't happen. I'm not gonna get into that. But I like the idea of them coming back with like a bigger recruitment of younger Sith wielders, or however
which
you want to say.
I don't
it.
Think they're technically Sith, but. But
no, they're not.
I don't think so. But essentially, right. Just wielders of the Force for evil reasons.
There you go. Yeah. I would be on board with that. I feel like that would be fun, just because also it opens the door to like even more things you could play around with. Like that, like there's even further things out there, and the Force acts even stranger if we go further out. And like there's different aspects of it that we haven't played with yet. That'd be kind of fun. There was one other idea I wanted to say, and if it maybe if did you guys ever play the not Insidious games? But they are blanking. They were PS4 games where basically you could choose if you wanted to be a superhero, good or bad, and you could end up changing the outcome of the
games.
Well,
you could do that a couple of, like in StarCraft, you could play as different races.
Yeah,
and
you can do that in one of the Star Wars games,
basically,
right?
Knights
of the Old Republic, maybe? You could do that?
At the end of the game, at the end of the second game, you got to make a decision of, like, do we get rid of all powered people, or do you become the thing that you hated?
Oh, is that the one? Well, the famous ad campaign was when you could play as Vader. In
Battlefront, you
could
do that,
and it was kind of like choose your side,
basically. But in the finale of that, you were able to choose to wipe out basically all of the Force or whatever gave people superpowers, and I always thought that was kind of a fun idea. Where it's like, hey, if you kind of set up in The Last Jedi that you kind of want to get rid of all Force things, period. Mm-hmm. That was one of the ideas that was presented. It's like maybe you went full into it, and the beyond is something that could eradicate the use of the Force.
Which is an interesting existential threat that actually would have special stakes to Star Wars, where, you know, a lot of people felt like, oh, these movies have felt like a repeat of the previous trilogy. And it's like, well, the dying out of the Jedi has been done, right? But what about the magic that they tap into, that dying out? That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. It could just wrap up this whole like repeat of the Empire again. There's like, it's the same, like you said, it's the same thing. So bring them together on a common ground where they have to work together. And then the galaxy actually moves forward in a positive direction where they actually have to figure out how to make this work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I really liked about The Last Jedi was the way it explained the Force in practical terms. Like, it's just an energy that binds everything, and there's a light side and a dark side. There's violence and there's peace, and they showed, you know, close-ups of, like, a nest with a bunch of porgs in it and then, like, crashing waves. And I like that depiction of the Force as opposed to, like, the midichlorians from the prequels. And I think the more we go down that rabbit hole and try to explore, like, the mysticism of it and create new, like, fantasy images and places, it gets too far away from what I think is so great about the whole mythology of the Force that George Lucas created in the first movie. It's this mystical thing that almost feels like BS, that just feels like kind of a way that certain crazy people see the world. And by the end of that movie, it's validated in the way that Luke can hear Obi-Wan's voice from beyond the grave, guiding him to destroy the Death Star. And I think the more we start to pull that thread, the more the tapestry starts to fall apart. So I would hope that these just stay rumors, or the beyond is just something else, or there's like a character named the beyond that they've been working with, and that's who they're coming back from, rather than like a form of heaven, and we see where Force ghosts go. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the whole idea of Force ghosts, the way that they appeared in Return of the Jedi, kind of threw me a little bit. I've never been crazy about like Force ghosts coming back, because I just like death being final, and if it's just like Luke kind of hearing a voice in his head, that's okay to me. But if it's too, like, if it gets too simple and then Yoda can come back at any time and talk to anyone at any time, it feels like, well, what are the stakes of that? You know, mm-hmm. Did you ever really lose them?
Yeah, though that said, it does beg the question, as soon as a Force ghost exists and is always ready to go, then it's like, where do they stay and lie in wait?
Yeah.
And then is that Force heaven?
I always like the idea that they're just in the mind of the perceiver, you know, that Luke sees Yoda
is a crazy person.
Yeah, Luke is crazy. Or his like connection with the Force allows him to tap into these memories, and those memories to have a form of AI of their own based off of their memories of their teachings and of their personality. And it's just really that form manifesting on its own, speaking back to them, as opposed to something external. I like the idea that it's in their own mind and in their perception of the world.
Yeah, it's kind of like Kryptonian tech, right? Where, you know, Superman can have conversations with his parents, but they're not really there.
Right, yeah. Well, we got some more Star Wars news from Anthony Daniels, who plays C-3PO and does the voice of him in the new movies. There's a couple tweets that are kind of crazy. He initially tweeted earlier this week that he had a big announcement. He was kind of acting like he was receiving a transmission and it's coming, and everyone got excited. Are we going to get a title reveal of Episode 9? Everyone was pumped. And then he said that there was some kind of confusion on the reception. And then the last thing he tweeted was that, it's coming in. It actually is coming in. TRAV. And then kind of cut off himself. And everyone's like, what the hell does this mean? Well, TRAV. Is he hinting at what the title of the movie could be? Because one thing that people realize is that all Star Wars movies, all the titles, have begun with the letter T, the letter R, or the letter A. Like the previous seven that have come out. I guess if you include Rogue One, that works. I guess Solo, A Star Wars Story, does not work in that. But if you consider the main chapters of the Star Wars movies, they're all TRRA. So does that mean V will be the first letter of the title of Episode 9?
Yeah, I don't think it's that.
Yeah, I don't think it's that either. Yeah. I think it's nonsense.
Interesting. It does seem like he was in the suit for too long and his brain cooked.
It's Tunisia, right? It's like he's out in the hottest of the hot suns.
He sounds like he's dying and he's tweeting for help.
He's probably a life alert mix up there, and he was typing in somewhere else.
Look at him.
He's having a great time. He's smiling.
He looks like...
He seems fine.
He looks like if the C-3PO suit was like a Play-Doh cat. And he's just done it too many times, and now he's starting to like shape his look at his brain. Look at it. Oh, you can't see this on the podcast.
I can hear the tweets. I can hear the tweets coming in right now from him.
If it were a V, all of the jumbled tweets. If it were a V, though, y'all got pitches?
V names?
Vader Legacy. Vader Returns.
Vader ain't done. Vader's back.
Weekend at Vader's.
Sorry.
Weekend at Vader's. There's TRAV. Some people are saying TRAV could be the letters of the words of it. So like, or maybe it's initials. A phrase that he's saying. Like TRAV could be like title reveal after Valentine's Day.
So title reveal after Valentine's Day, or if it is the title, like the revenge. The return.
Vader.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good title.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is a title reveal. Some people are even thinking it's just as simple as like releasing the movies in 4K, and there's just some really convoluted way of announcing that. I think it is something maybe more in that direction, a little further away from title reveal or trailer. But I'm telling you, like someone check on this guy, like they don't make any sense, any of these tweets with themselves.
Maybe it's a joke that'll all become clear later. Like Travolta is gonna be in it,
or travel Claus. Star Wars cruises, and it's a Star Wars fan cruise because they do that for Back to the Future, they do that for Star Trek. It's definitely a Star Wars cruise. Boom.
Tiny
brain cooked
rabbits ain't
very
vegans.
Pretty good. These are good ideas.
Yeah.
Well, we solved it.
You're welcome.
Debunked. Well, let us know in the comments below what you think TRAV might mean.
This poor old man.
Or what these tweets could be referring to. But some other stuff came out this week. Sam, what have you heard?
May I please? Thank you. And I'm excited. Let's talk about, in other news, Chris Pratt, handsome man, confirms that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 will use James Gunn's script. Uh-huh. That's been the word around town. And good to get a little confirmation. Confirmed like third time in a row. We also know that
James Gunn feels about that.
We also know that the epic show Pennyworth, the Batman prequel about Alfred, his butler, will apparently be an, quote, unhinged R-rated series set in the 1960s and featuring a descendant of Jack the Ripper as his main antagonist, or at least as far as we know, and also will not feature any Batman villains
as
of right now.
Little Jake the Ripper. Jake Lloyd.
Also, there's a rumor that Avengers Endgame could have a runtime of 3 whole hours.
That's it? Make it longer.
There was even a little rumor of an intermission, which I need to pee. I pee every 15 minutes.
It'll just like check in on like Scarlet Witch, and it's like there's like a little message, you can go to the bathroom.
Or there's like sand from an hourglass, but it looks like the dust of the dead people.
Oh,
Peter Parker's eyeball.
There you go. Yeah. Pretty cool. Also, Robert Pattinson is reportedly being considered to replace Ben Affleck as Batman in Matt Reeves' The Batman. Man, I really like him.
Our audio listeners love this story.
The Batman
is who we're talking about right now.
The Batman.
Really?
Yeah. Batman. Jason Batman. Yeah, it's the same guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm really on board with this. He's done a lot of amazing roles. The Lost City of Zed, Good Times. I'm 100% on board with this.
Cedric Diggory.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Twilight. Very good.
What?
Also, finally, hey, first one was okay. And Taika Waititi will not be directing Guardians 3, saying, this is his quote, going into something like that, which has got his stamp all over it, would feel like going to someone's house and going, hey, I'm your new dad, and this is how we make peanut butter sandwiches now. It just feels kind of awkward.
Yeah, interesting response. Because that's like, you know, it's James Gunn's baby, and we would want Taika Waititi. Seems like the best person to take it over.
Kinda. I think it's just people are like, a funny Marvel director, and so they wanted to.
And he did a funny space movie that's colorful. Yeah.
Which to me is a great reason to not have him do that. You know what I mean? Like, he's got his. Mm-hmm. Let him do his.
I get the appeal, but I'm glad that he, you know, put a stamp on it. He's like, nah, I'm not going to be doing that. I'm going to be making What We Do in the Shadows TV series, which I'm very excited about. What I'm also excited for is our lightning round, because I know we got many good questions.
And well, before we get to that, we have one more announcement that we want to give you guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we mentioned The Walking Dead earlier. We will actually be resuming our coverage of The Walking Dead season 9.
Walking Dead Breakdown's coming back.
We had to stop at the beginning of season 9. Just there was a lot of reasons why at the end of the day, we just couldn't really afford to do it. We had a lot of other things we were trying to do.
Just straight up, we were losing money on those, and it was just killing us.
It was. And the great news is there's a streaming service called Philo, who reached out to us, and they're like, look, we're going to hook you guys up. We want to sponsor you to keep doing these breakdowns. And they are a great streaming service. They have AMC content as well as like a ton of other, like 50 different channels. They have like Comedy Central and MTV, Nickelodeon. It's like all the things that like if you are cutting the cord and you're just trying to live off of different like streaming services, I feel like the ones that aren't covered by anything, Philo covers. So now you can like finally completely cut the cord. You don't have to deal with a stupid cable package that you've been dealing with. You can just go through Philo, and you can save as much as like as much as you want. There's no limits on how much you save, and you can go back and catch up on Better Call Saul, The Walking Dead, Comedy Central shows. It's awesome, and they're helping us out with bringing back our episodes.
Make the Walking Dead breakdowns. Yeah. We'll put a link here for signing up if you're interested on getting AMC and all these other channels streaming. If you use our service, I think they're doing a week for free or something. But if you use our link, follow that link. Philo, thank you so much for bringing back our Walking Dead breakdowns.
Yeah, and yeah. I think you guys will be real excited on Monday after the season 9 premiere, which airs Sunday on AMC. On Monday, we will have our breakdown and review and in-depth analysis. And season 9, if you guys have been keeping me up with season 9, it's been a lot better. It's been like a step forward. Like the Whispers are now part of the show. Like there's been a new showrunner, and like it's really like been in a better position these past 9 episodes, and I'm glad we get to talk about it again. And hopefully this breakdown series will do well, because we'd love to keep doing this for all of season 9 for what's left. But now, yeah, let's move on to the lightning round.
Lightning round. Somebody create a lightning round theme song for us, and we'll maybe use it. Lightning round. All right, Sam. At Swatomar, do you think an homage to Stan Lee on future Marvel movies should be done through CGI, like Leia, or like the way they did it in Deadpool? With a graffiti or a poster, or maybe even a clever name drop.
Deadpool.
You know, a real clever name drop.
Yeah, Deadpool. Do a picture. Don't, please don't do that to that poor man.
Yeah, no holograms.
Yeah, no CGI. I like the name drop where it's just a guy named Stanley. And they're like, get it?
Hey, all right, Stan.
Eric, please. At Arestia Jonte.
Hi.
What's your favorite Endgame fan theory going around at the moment?
Ooh, my favorite fan theory going around is the craziest one. I think that Loki turned himself into the Hulk, and that Loki's still alive. And I think it continues to be the craziest one, and it's my favorite, and will always be the favorite. And there's no way it's going to be correct when Endgame comes out.
It's just so funny if he's like been anyway.
Yeah, he's been pretending to be Bruce Banner for the whole time. Yeah, it's great.
Philip at Santos J Black, if while in Westeros you had to choose the champion to fight in your place in a trial by combat, who would you choose and why? I mean, it's obvious that it should be Jacques Nagar because he doesn't lose those things, but I'm still going to say the Viper.
Yeah,
he's such a fun fighter, and it's such a satisfying pop. Sam at Waz HP, do you reckon Theon will sacrifice himself to save his sister Yara? And if so, do you think this will be a quote good ending for him?
It will. I have been tired of his character for a hot minute, so I hope that's how it goes. Hope sister ends up okay. And I, you know what? Yes, it'll be a fine ending for him.
Redemption story. Yes. Redemption song. Eric at FD Velocity, do you think the green dragon glass that Jon saw in Hard Home will play a part?
In Hard Home. I think they left everything in Hard Home behind. That's an interesting theory, but I don't think it'll play a part.
Yeah, though not saying that Dragon Glass won't play a part.
Dragon Glass, of course, will play a part, that particular one.
Philip, at Maoist Hedgehog, what are the chances that Ned Stark is still actually Jon's dad? Gross?
Yeah.
Sam, not likely.
Yeah.
Sam, at Screenplay, who is the best fighter in Game of Thrones, living or dead? Kind of similar to my question.
Well, I'm good with that. Mountain. Nope.
The Rountain. True Scorn. Other than dragons, what mythical beast would you like to see brought to life on Game of Thrones? I almost said narwhals, but those are real.
Those are definitely real.
But
a lot
they are
of people
real.
Don't think that they're real animals.
Something crazy. Sea lions. Eric.
Also real.
Yeah. At Sansa's Dove. Do you think baby Sam, being the brother of so many White Walkers, could possibly turn into one?
Isn't he already a... Oh, baby Sam. Oh, his Sam. That... I think that will be a threat. I think that baby will get taken by White Walkers at some point. That's a theory I'm going to put out there. But I don't think he'll turn into one. But that will be like a quest that the characters have to go under to make sure that baby doesn't get turned into a White Walker.
I like that you kind of made it sound like it's the baby's choice, like about whether or not he decides. Present your cases. Okay, everybody, at Underpants Gnome, if IKEA made the Iron Throne, what would they call it? Sworgen chair? Sam, it's okay.
I don't know Swedish.
Don't know Swedish.
Yeah. Even Swedes don't know Swedish. Flurfin.
Flurfin.
Let's go with Flurfin.
Flurdy.
You're welcome.
Flurfin. That has been Lightning Round. Wow. Make sure to tweet at us at New Rockstars if you want to be included in our Lightning Round.
And thanks for sending those questions. But now comes the time for a 15-second shout out. Boom, each of us has 15 seconds to shout out, ramble, or plug anything we want. Sam, you got something?
Yes. For podcast listeners, thank you for joining us on the Himalaya app. Appreciate it. But you can also check out David Tennant does a podcast with ... And then he brings on a guest, and they are delightful. Out of celebrity. Bringing on other celebrities to talk about celebrity things. That has been the most delightful listen so far. Great. Go listen to it.
Philip?
What am I into right now? The Brilliant Light Switch. Look it up. It's called Brilliant. It's a cool light switch replacement. Brilliant Light Switch. I'm not being paid by them. Brilliant.
You should be. For my 15 seconds, thank you all who came out to our first Darkest Timeline comedy last week. Philip was there, and Maude and Tommy were there too.
Sam, I was out of town.
In the future, we'll hopefully be there. It was a lot of fun, and we'll do that every first Friday of the month. For next Friday, the 15th, I'll be doing a sketch show with my sketch team, Dad Jeans, at that theater. It'll be a whole different type of thing. We're doing different material. You'll get to see me act, actually. It's going to be a really funny show. So if you're in the LA area, come check that out. Just come to the Acme Theater every Friday night. There's always good stuff there. Great. So let's return to our trivia question that we asked earlier.
Boom, boom.
We now know what the answer is. The loser, as decided by our judges, will have to join the GIF of Shame Society.
If you're listening on a podcast, remember to check out and follow us on our socials so you can see our shameful GIFs.
Yes, yes, yes. To remind everyone of what the question was, Thanos is the short form of the Greek word Thanatos, which means what? Let's see what we said.
Sam says death to the heart power. He put a little heart above it.
No, the heart was just for you, Philip.
Oh, thank
reading
you. How'd you know I was going to read it? Well, death.
There you
death
go.
Is also for me. Death.
There you go.
Philip says destroyer.
Oh, and Eric says conqueror.
Well, the correct answer was death, meaning Sam is our winner this week.
Go.
Congrats, Sam. How did you know that? Did you take Greek? Any point?
Venture Brothers. Venture Brothers taught me that. Thanks, Venture Brothers.
Gotcha. And then judges, who's closer, Destroyer or Conqueror?
Well, Destroyer starts with D.
Yeah. E. D. So that means I am safe this week, finally.
And Eric loses. That's me. I'm Eric. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to do one of these goofy things, and then Sam's going to read our goodbyes. So here's what I have to do. An Avengers Endgame trailer just dropped, but your computer is buffering.
Oh,
ooh,
ain't
I've
that
been
the
in
worst
that position before? Okay, so I'm gonna do that just right here.
Let's clear the screen for him. If you're listening, Eric is getting ready to be full of shame.
This is my favorite part of the podcast. I'll tell you what, this is pretty fun. Yes, don't worry. You can go ahead and check out at New Rockstars on Twitter to make sure you watch all of the hilarity ensue. But you know what, gang? Let's say thank you for watching or listening to this week's episode of New Rockstars News. I want to thank our hosts, me up top at Sam Basher, because I'm the winner. I get first place. Philip Molina at Fimo, and Eric Voss at EA Voss. Remember that this is also available in audio form and video form. Videos at youtube.com/newrockstars, and you get the audio anywhere you get your podcast. But if you use the Himalaya app, you can actually leave a comment on the podcast, and it supports the show directly. I love it. Comment and tweet us at New Rockstars. Like I said previously, like this video and podcast, share it around, and subscribe to Rockstars for deep dives into the stuff you love. See you next week. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Really kind of fainted.
Yeah.
I was not watching. Sorry, I didn't see it. Looked like it was fun. He liked it. He giggled.